Good evening. It's great to be back with you tonight. Appreciate your presence so that we can study God's Word together. A couple of quick things just as reminders. Don't forget, if you do have someone going to camp that is not signed up yet, I need that tonight. Plan on getting that in the mail tomorrow, and so please get that to me. Also, a reminder, May 19th, area-wide youth singing at Realfoot Youth Camp. That starts, it's on a Sunday night, it begins at 5 after the singing, and I'm sure there'll be a short devotional as well. There will be food provided, and so a great opportunity for our young people. If you would like to go, please sign up on the sign-up sheet that's in the back. I know there are three names back there. We'd love to have more than that, of course. Go out to it. Great opportunity to be around. A lot of the people that will be there will be the ones that we also see at camp. I'm sure there'll be others as well, but it'll be a lot of familiar faces. And so if you haven't signed up yet, if your young person is not signed up yet, please do. We'd love to have a good group go out and take part in that. So that's May 19th. That's a couple of Sundays from today. As we look at the Apostle Paul, we see an individual who accomplished a lot for the cause of Christ. And we see an individual who is worthy of our imitation. And so tonight, we want to spend just a few moments noticing four characteristics that are worthy of our imitation. Character traits that Paul possessed that we should strive to possess as well. All four of these come from the book of Romans, mainly in chapter 1, which is where we'll spend most of our time as we go through these four traits. Number one tonight, Paul was humble. Paul was humble. You know, when we think about great preachers in the Bible, when we think about those who made an impact for the Lord's church and for the cause of Christ, Paul really has to pretty well top that list, right? I mean, here's an individual who established numerous congregations. Here's an individual who preached to large crowds and one-on-one with individuals. You know, Paul had to have been oblivious to not see the impact that was taking place as a result of God's blessing his efforts. I mean, he had to know the impact he was having for the cause of Christ as he went on these three missionary journeys, as he established these congregations, as he wrote these letters to individuals and to congregations to encourage them and to strive to get them to be faithful. But you know, despite all of that, Paul never made it about himself. It was never about, look at what I've done. The life of Paul was always one that said, look at what God has done. You know, if anyone had the right to think highly of himself, I would say it would have been Paul. But he didn't do so. Right there in the beginning of the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, he says, Paul, a servant of God, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Notice how he refers to himself. He refers to himself first and foremost as a servant of Jesus. The Greek word servant is from a word doulos. It means to be a bond servant. Some translations translate it, and rightfully so, as slave. Here was an individual who was enslaved to Christ. He was an apostle. He was chosen by God. He was separated to spread the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul had a very important mission, but despite all of that, Paul viewed himself first and foremost as God's servant. Humility is seeing oneself as just that, as a servant of Christ, of recognizing who we are in relation to who God is. And that's what Paul did. We see in other places where Paul talks about the fact that an individual ought not to think more highly of himself than would be correct. And we see him talking about the fact that he had been crucified with Christ, therefore it was no longer him that lived, but Christ lived in him, Galatians 2:20. Paul was someone who, despite being an individual of great knowledge and great ability, he was an individual that was humble, recognizing that it was God who needed to be pushed out in front. Number two, not only was Paul humble, but Paul was an encourager. Paul was an encourager. In Romans chapter 1, in verses 7 through 13, Paul continues in opening up the letter to the church at Rome. He said, "To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles." Notice as you look at that passage, verse 8, "I thank my God for you." Verses 9 and 10, "I'm praying for you always." Verses 10 and 11, "I desire to be with you." Verse 11, "I want to be encouraged by being with you and want to encourage you." As Paul writes, he's constantly trying to build the brethren up. Even in letters like 1 Corinthians, where he's having to deal with so many different issues that the church at Corinth had, he still takes time to encourage them, to build them up. You know, it takes a whole lot more effort to build something than it does to tear it down, right? I can remember growing up, my cousin Audie, the one who got me started preaching, he had a deck on the back of his house. And that deck, over time, like decks do, it had rotted and had issues. And he decided, instead of trying to repair all of those issues, he was just going to tear it down and build a new one. And so he got me and one of my other cousins to come out to help him with that. And y'all, in a few short hours, we had that deck just gone. But you know, it took the rest of the day and the next day to build a new one in its place. It's easy to tear someone down. That doesn't take a lot of skill. That doesn't take a lot of thinking or effort. You want to do something that's difficult? Be an encourager. You want to do something that takes effort? Build someone up. Even as Paul wrote, and were there issues at Rome? Of course. Could he have started this letter, "Hey, look, here's things that y'all need to be fixing"? Yes. But he knew it was more important to build them up, to encourage them, and then address those things that needed to be taken care of. Paul was someone who was an encourager. When the pockets of an assassinated Abraham Lincoln were empty, among the contents were a letter to the editor of a newspaper complimenting our 16th president on the job that he was doing. I have a drawer in my office. Stuffed in that drawer are notes from people, other tokens of appreciation, and things that I have received throughout my time preaching. Why do I hold on to those things? Well, because in moments of discourage, it's good to be able to open up a drawer and see that, you know, hey, maybe I've done a little bit better than I thought I have. It's important for us to encourage one another. We all like to feel appreciated. It encourages us. And Paul was one who did that often for the people that he came in contact with. It's a character trait that we need to develop, and that is one to be an encourager. So Paul was humble. He was an encourager. And number three, Paul was compassionate. Paul was compassionate. Paul was an individual who had compassion for his fellow man, and he had compassion for the lost. In Romans 1, 14 through 17, he says, "I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Paul felt that he owed a debt to all men. Verse 14. And notice he said, I am under obligation, is the way he worded it, both to Greeks and to barbarians. In other words, to everyone. He was ready to preach the gospel. Verse 15. Two words in the Greek combined for the word eager. There was one word that meant to be prepared. The other one meant to be eager, to be something that you're longing to do. And Paul used that latter one. He was not ashamed of the saving power of the gospel. He wanted all men to know it. In Romans chapter 9, in verses 1 through 3, he says, I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. In chapter 10, verse 1, he said, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. Paul looked out, especially on the Jewish people that were lost, that were unwilling to accept Christ. And he says, in essence, it's breaking my heart. You know, you go through preaching school, one of the things that they, and I don't know that they could prepare you for this, but one of the things they don't prepare you for is the fact that you'll stand before a congregation every Sunday, but you'll recognize that there are people sitting in the pews who aren't Christians, who aren't living as they should. They don't have a way to prepare you for how that breaks your heart, to know that there are people that you're trying to reach out to, but it's for naught. That was the attitude here of Paul. He loved these people. He wanted them to spend eternity in heaven. And he was doing everything he could in his power to reach out to them, to bring them to Christ, but yet some just would not. But that didn't stop Paul from having that compassion. He was an individual who had compassion for the lost. Paul was humble. He was an encourager. He was compassionate. And then finally tonight, number 4, Paul was committed. Paul was committed. He was deeply committed to the cause of Christ. And I don't have any just one passage in the book of Romans to point you to. Just read through the entire book and we see his commitment there. You can read through his other letters that he wrote and you see that commitment in those letters. You can read through the book of Acts and look at his actions as he lived out this cause for Christ, and we see that commitment in all that he did. He was an individual who was committed to Christ first and foremost and without fail. James Francis Burns was a Secretary of State under Franklin Roosevelt. And he once said this, I discovered at an early age that most of the difference between the average people and great people can be explained in 3 words, and then some. That was the Apostle Paul. Paul was an and then some person. He did much for the cause of Christ and then some. He reached out to the lost and then some. He sought to encourage people that he came in contact with and then some. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, as his life is drawing to a close, he said, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul was able to look at death and say, I'm ready. Let's live our lives in such a way that we've been so committed to the cause of Christ that when we stare down death at the end, we can make the same statement that I'm ready. The character of Paul is worthy of our imitation. We need to be humble. We need to be encouragers of those around us. We need to have compassion for our fellow man. And we need to be committed to the cause of Christ. Friend, are you committed tonight? If not, will you make that commitment? Believing in Jesus and turning from sin, putting Christ on in baptism, or maybe you've done that, but you realize tonight, you know what, my commitment's not been what it should be. I need to make a change. I need to come back home. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Let's encourage one another as we strive to live our lives for God. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.